B-Pod Studios.
This is Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart drills a three.
Oh, heartbeat steal.
And you're listening to the flagship station of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
This is a game that's played by men, not girls. Girls cannot play this game. You got my father's a judge. They got one more time, and I'm making this clear to the city of Boston. The next time Juwan Howard throw an elbow and hit one of my players and nothing's being done, his actions will be taken. Now, this is all tonight. I have nothing else to say. I'm on my way back to my condominium. I have nothing else to say. Good night.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. And a big show on the way today. Mike Gorman going to join us and so on and so forth. Brad Stevens tomorrow.
Yeah,
it'll be the
first,
whole situation.
First time in what, like 3 weeks we've had Brad Stevens? And yes, Dan.
Well, you remember that text that I sent you saying, hey, Brad's going to join us on Friday.
Yeah.
11:52 p.m.
I know, man. Are you what's okay. Going on?
It's called a conflict.
I can't make it. Oh,
it's
man.
It's called a conflict. So
he hates our show. He hates our show.
Fred predicted this, 2 weeks ago, Fred?
Yeah, there's no way he was going to do it this late in the playoffs. Yeah.
Well, what was I saying? I was like, yeah, everyone was like, yeah, he's going to be. I was like, man, no. There was a million times he could have come on the show, and he didn't. I mean, they were home during, you know, many of the time. It's not like he's out scouting right now. I mean, he's here. Like when they're in town, he's able to call. Yeah, he hates our show. He hates it. And he's looking for ways to avoid it.
Well, here's how you avoid it. I don't mean to interrupt again, but that either it's a feel-good going to the finals.
Yes.
Or it's the exit interview at the end of the season, but a few days, you know, after.
If he came on today or tomorrow, it is you are one win away from the final. I mean, there's literally nothing that you can feel bad about right now with the Celtics team. I mean, things are looking good. You would think of all the times you'd want to come on a show and peacock a little bit, it would be now. Oh, well, there you go. He hates our show.
Oh, Rich, that's no way to think and to talk. That's... Don't make it about
I miss
you.
Danny Ainge.
Well, yeah, everyone misses Danny Ainge. He was a good interview.
He was a great interview. Danny Ainge was such a quality guy that even when he left the organization... He made sure to call us one last time. I absolutely did not need to. In any way, shape, or form, all of his requirements and everything like that were completely done. He made sure to call us for one last call-in. Like, that was how awesome Danny Ainge was. Frustrating. Well, there you go. But then again, it saves us from 15 minutes of having to, you know, pull blood from a stone.
Yeah, it's pretty boring, so I could care less.
So right? I actually don't mind.
I was just saying it because I was just had nothing else to say.
No, it's just that, Fred, it's like, I mean, how often do we joke about, I mean, if, like, we're like the like least respected like medium. Radio is just so disrespected. And our show just seems to get crapped on more than anything by guests. You know, you got Big Baby standing us up and he's showing
well,
up
he
getting in trouble with the law.
Yeah,
so,
Big Baby's got his own problems. I don't think that had anything to do with the show.
Well, yeah, his problems are obviously
the
so
hours
bad
of
that
the
he sits
show.
Front row where a judge can see it. And then
I told you that there's some people out there, Big Baby being one of them, there's no way you can corral them before 10 in the morning. It's just not going to happen. this is still very early for most people.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, before 10 o'clock.
Well, for some people.
I mean, he was an athlete at one point.
Athletes are never up before noon.
I was going to say, he was an athlete at one point. Yeah. He kind of had to train himself to get up at certain
times.
Yeah,
Rich, and he still is.
Well, I mean, look at him. He's got the body of an Adonis right now.
No, he's obviously put that well behind him. So, no, I knew he was never going to show up.
All right, well, there you go. So there is a conflict tomorrow morning, and he can't do it? Is that what we're hearing?
Yes, so then the follow-up to that, or all included in the same text, would be not realizing Monday was a holiday. It's like, let's do it Monday. I'm like, yeah, let's do it Monday. So we will push on for Tuesday.
The negotiations are back on.
We're back on, yeah.
Okay. So Tuesday.
Don't negotiate too hard.
Okay.
It's okay. If he doesn't want to do it, I'm fine with that. So a lot of people weighed in yesterday. I had made a list of things I had done for my wife.
That's right.
Went over. So what I did is my wife was very upset when she got home. And by the way, she got up in the middle of the night last night and organized the living room and cleaned. Between like midnight and 5 a.m, she got up and did that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, it was. What is wrong, Rich? You're very upset.
I'm upset? No. I'm fine. No. Right, I was a little miffed at the Brad Stevens thing. I mean, it's like, come on.
Because I can see you. You don't understand. I can see you. You just look miffed.
Oh, no. I'm not miffed. The Brad Stevens thing, that's a little bit of a slap in the face. I mean, it's been like 3 weeks. Now it's going to be a month that he's avoided us.
I look at that as a positive. I mean, those interviews are real boring.
Yeah. I mean, they are. They are. I think it's more that it's just like the missing of Danny Ainge. You know,
yes,
like,
I mean, Danny
Ainge was such a good interview.
Yeah, you went from a good interview to a bad interview.
Yep.
You went from someone who is very comfortable in their position.
Yeah.
To someone who is the kicker for the Patriots? Almost.
Gaskowski.
Gaskowski-like in the interviews.
Yeah.
You know, feels like he can't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, my wife had been very upset about these things, and so I made a list of all the things I did when she was gone, the week that she was gone, and everyone went, oh, Fred, that's so terrible, and oh, Fred, you didn't even do anything, and da-da-da-da-da, went over fantastic. Went over absolutely
good,
fantastic.
Good, I'm glad
and
it worked.
Yesterday, my wife couldn't get out of bed, and my kids had like a million problems. So I was constantly on the run yesterday.
Excellent. I'm sure she appreciated it, too.
Well, she was seeing it in real time.
Excellent.
There was issues at my daughter's school. There was my son had some issues, and I was sitting there, and I was Bob Saget in it. I was sitting there, Danny Tanner in it.
Yeah.
I was there on one knee, telling him what was going on. You know, life lessons, mm-hmm. driving him around. So you open the well of communication with your loved ones.
Everyone Let should make know. A list. We all have to make lists? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you feel you're being unfairly scorned, absolutely.
What was you said it was a positive reaction. What did she say?
You know, that's a lot of stuff. Like, you know, I apologize for my behavior.
Awesome.
Great.
That it couldn't have gone any better then. That's like ideal.
Yeah, people were saying that, you know, don't do this, don't do this. Oh, you're an idiot, don't do this. I mean, a lot of people. And I just said, how am I an idiot?
Yeah, even I had my doubts that it would work, but then again,
But you didn't go all in and say, like, you know, this is...
No.
You know, what are you doing? Da, 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 da.
No,
that
no,
doesn't
my...
doesn't seem like anything.
No, my whole thing was that, you know, usually that seems like one of those things that you would just, like, write out on your own and it would feel good to do it, but then you wouldn't press send because you just don't know. Because, you know, hey, you know what, but admit this, though, there are probably some wives who would take that and go, oh, yeah, well, I do twice that every day. And that would be the end
deal.
Of it. You know what I mean?
I wasn't asking for appreciation. I wasn't asking to be applauded.
Yeah, yeah.
I was saying, just don't berate me. Like let's get it back to normal. I wasn't asking to be praised. I was saying... I was just simply asking, like, you know, slow it down a little bit with this craziness. Mm-hmm. That's all I was doing. So, you know, people asked, and there is your update.
Oh, good.
For everyone that
Excellent.
Thought I was a complete idiot.
No.
About this thing.
No, I'm glad that worked out. That's awesome.
I mean, Brad Stevens sent me a very, very terse note yesterday about the dynamics of my home. And, you know, and finally there's food. So, I mean, now my daughter can go to school and say that she's actually being fed.
Steve, put it, let me ask you something. If Stephanie was home alone, would she have tried to bait and switch with her?
Probably not, because the relationship isn't there. that like, she knows with me, I'm not going to take it too far.
I see.
I'm just going to kind of go, did you do this? And it, is this why you did it? And she goes, tee hee. And I go, all right, just don't do it again. The relationship between my wife and daughter is a lot more tense than that.
I see. All right.
Yeah, I am a solid favorite. So right. I think that she can take a lot more liberties with me, because like a solid favorite in between the two of us, between me and my daughter. For what reason, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she will announce it to me, to my wife, to everyone, to my mom.
Like, she likes you better.
Oh, yeah, she told my mom. She's like, the only one I like is dad. Oh, like, in this and that. And even when she was a baby, and my wife has this video, because, you know, she's graduating fifth grade, and she has this video of Zoe in her crib holding herself up, and my wife goes, hey, Zoe. And Zoe's like, hey. And she's like, I'm going to take you out. And she goes, no, dad. So ever since she was like a baby, I have been a solid favorite with her. And we'll see how that works out. Because with my son, I think he worries about me. And he's closer with my wife. They have heart to hearts, which drives me insane. Like, they'll have gone to bed. I'll think everyone's in bed, and I'll go downstairs, and I'll see that my wife is in his room, like, still talking to him. Mm-hmm. And it drives me, like, crazy. Like, what are you two talking about? Stop talking.
I would look at it different. It's like, all right, well, these are conversations that, thank goodness, I don't need to be a part of.
And that's kind of the way I lean. Yeah, I lean. I don't want to know.
Thank you for doing this, because I don't have to.
Throw yourself right on that grenade. I'm going to walk this way. Yeah, I'll be over here.
Like, stuff like that, yeah. I actually don't mind. Because that happens in our house, too. It's like, my wife will have conversations with the kids, and I'll hear them in the other room, and I'll be like, well, I'm kind of glad I'm outside of this one.
Nah, it's just annoying. Like, okay. I just like, what are you two doing? Like, stop the conspiracy. Stop conspiring.
Hey, you got one, Fred. That's good.
Maybe. Yeah, I didn't have to do anything.
That's what I'm saying. You got one. You should be happy.
Yeah. It's a draw right now.
I was just going to say, in a perfect world, that's what it would be like. So there you go. You got one.
No, I demand domination. I demand to be to dominate the scenario. All right. Well, last night, you had a close game for over two quarters.
A close, awful game for two quarters.
Yeah, not good.
And then, of course, the Celtics started playing like themselves.
And I really do have an issue with them in injuries. And I know it's nitpicking, and I don't want to go crazy on it, but Tatum drives me insane. Just drives me insane. Like, I hate it.
Well, the whining to the refs does, but you
no, but him writhing on the floor in pain, and then he's throwing, you know, baseball passes like the next second down the court, drives me nuts.
But he doesn't do that. Like, the
he did it last night. Well, he did it last night. But he that's did it because, last night twice.
But that's also because he had injured himself a couple games ago. Like, that's a new thing. Like, the whining at the refs, there's been no bigger critic than me as far as that's concerned with
his
game.
But arm
the pain,
is fine.
I think, was real.
No.
What benefit is it to him faking it that early in the game?
I don't know. The whole team, like, loves faking injuries. They all love, like, acting like they've been shot whenever there's, like, a slight bit of discomfort.
But not Tatum. Tatum's never been that guy.
Well, he is now. I just don't see the benefit of it. His arm's not hurt. His arm is not hurt.
Oh, the first half, it absolutely was hurt. He was
off.
Oh,
and then it gets better?
Every shot was half.
And then it gets better?
It couldn't make it. Yeah, it was like one
for nine. And then it gets better.
Well, you can get a shot.
Yeah, because in the middle of the game, when you're playing basketball, your arm gets better.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a shot for the pain. It happens in football games all the time.
Yeah, they're not shooting up your shooting arm, Rich. They're not numbing your arm.
If it was,
are you crazy?
But
you don't think that,
Fred. But
you
there's no reason for him to fake it.
I don't. Maybe for the drama of the whole thing.
Oh,
maybe.
He wouldn't do that. Tatum's never done that. That's not Tatum.
He is doing it.
He was legit playing hurt in the first half.
Last night.
The second half, he was fine.
First minute of the game, you saw him hold his shoulder, and he was holding it to his side.
He writhed in pain on the ground.
Ime Udoka brought Derek White up to the scorer's table,
And apparently, according to Udoka, and take it for what it's worth, it, you know, that kind of stinging pain went away. And the shoulder loosened up.
And that can't happen.
Now, writhing in pain on the ground is
one thing. So stop being a pussy about it. I mean, you're a professional athlete. To stop being a pussy about it.
But, I mean...
But nothing. They didn't give him a shot in the second.
Okay, well, then he could play through it, and the pain can go away. I mean,
it can. It's when often.
It's how he reacts to it is a little over the top. Now, I believe the injury was certainly legitimate. He had a stinger earlier in the playoffs. He went back to the locker room.
Do you know what a stinger is?
Yes.
A stinger is that it hurts, like, and then your arm goes numb, and then it goes away.
That's what happened. It's exactly what happened
in the first quarter. That's what happened.
He didn't have a stinger last night.
I thought
it sure looked like it.
It sure looked like it looked like it to me too.
He couldn't hit a shot in the first half.
I understand that, but he could play.
Would he miss on purpose? Right? Are you saying he's missing on purpose?
No, I'm saying that he's writhing in pain at the any discomfort that they have. They writhe in pain. They run off the floor like they've been shot.
But he didn't. Yes. He stayed on the court.
No, he writhed on the floor in pain. He didn't?
Maybe he was legitimately in pain. There's no reason for him to fake it at that early in the game.
I'm saying
he wasn't trying to cry for a foul. I mean, it's different if there was a situation where he was trying to get a foul call, but that wasn't this.
They are the most dramatic team with these injuries that aren't real injuries.
Yeah, but the Tatum one, now you can say that with Marcus Smart all day long.
No, I can say it with Tatum. I can say it all I want. I can say it now. I can say it at 10 o'clock. I can say it whenever I want.
But he doesn't have a track record.
I don't care what his track record is. Maybe he realizes he's on TV, but it's ridiculous. I mean, the writhing on the floor in pain, if you're writhing on the floor in pain, they should have to cart you off. You don't stay in the game. It's annoying to me. I mean, these guys run off the floor, and then there's who's the guy for the Knicks, Johnny
Willis Reed.
Yeah, everything's supposed to be this Willis Reed moment. It's annoying to me. I mean, if you're writhing on the floor in pain as a professional athlete, I assume that you're hurt.
Well, it's nitpicking. But I think he was hurt, and I think his play showed that he was hurt in the first half.
He had pain. I don't doubt that his arm hurt a little bit. I think that we're it's semantics at this point. I don't doubt that he had a boo boo. I'm talking about writhing on the floor in pain. When was the last time you writhed on the floor in pain?
I've also never been beaten up the way that these guys are every game.
You've never played a sport where you got hit?
Not against guys the size of Bam Adebayo. No,
but he's the size of Bam Adebayo. So everything's relative. I mean, if you're 5 feet tall, 90 pounds, and you're playing in a league of 5 foot tall, 90 pounders, you're going to get hit too. I mean, they're your size.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why you're defending him.
Because I disagree with you. Because you're saying he faked an injury, and I don't believe he did.
I didn't say he faked it. I said that they oversell these things. If you're writhing on the floor in pain,
and I
expect a training staff to come out. But then again, you know, maybe you are a bit, basketball is your favorite sport, so you're just used to pussies. I mean, I mean in hockey, I mean, if you're writhing on the ice in pain, they're taking you out, and chances are you've broken 18 things. In football, if you're writhing,
all right.
On the
now you're comparing hockey players to basketball players, and that's not something.
All right, in baseball, if you're writhing on the field in pain, I mean, in any sport, in any activity, if you're a marathon runner and you're writhing on the pavement in pain, if you're a cricket player and you're writhing on whatever they call that in pain.
Basketball has a different vibe. Like, for instance, Kyle Lowry. You saw what happened with Kyle Lowry last night? Mm-hmm. He sold the fact that he got hit in the jaw with a shoulder and whipped his head back and was writhing on the floor in pain. Trying to sell a foul. And it turns out the replay, Jalen Brown missed him.
Right.
He never
Tatum
hit him.
Was not selling
no,
a foul last
but
night.
Basketball
I would be more respective. If he was.
Basketball players in general try to sell things more
right.
than any other
But we're
athlete.
Talking about Tatum no. last night, and there was nothing that indicated that he was trying to sell anything. No reason
game.
For him to fake it, and his play indicated that he was indeed injured. What, is he going to miss, like, 9 shots on purpose? No, he was in bad shape in the first half.
Fred, let me... I just want to make sure I have this right, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Fred is...
talking about that specifically.
No, he's upset. He's talking about last night's play.
Hold on. Wait. Let me finish. He's not talking about that specifically and how the pain affected Tatum. It's how Tatum sold it that he doesn't like. And this is an overall narrative to how basketball players are one way and all the other athletes in the other sports
especially,
are another way.
Especially
do I have that right, Fred? Is that what you're saying?
This postseason, it's a nagging thing that is bothersome.
Okay. You're arguing two different things, I think, is what this comes down
to. Well, which is what everything comes down to on this show, is we end up arguing two different things.
Okay.
Because the whole argument changes and shifts and turns.
Yeah.
Right. I just listen, it bothers me. It doesn't have to bother you. I'm sure there's a million people right now talking it to last night's game that, you know, don't have a problem with it. And that's why I said I wasn't going to bring it up all show. I'm just bringing it up now. Now it's off my chest. I don't have to bring it up again.
Okay.
But it's very annoying to me that the way this team is Willis Reading every moment. And we've made fun of them before, like, and then Smart's off the floor, running into the locker room, and then he's back out 10 seconds later, and everyone's on their feet. It's annoying. Just, you know, you're hurt or you're not. That's all. That's all I'm saying. All right, we'll be back. When we come back, we'll start talking about this Celtics game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't you dare think that we think we're superstars.
No. We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
All right, we are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, last night, getting down to one game from the finals.
Yep, the Celtics were awful yesterday until they weren't.
Tatum for Horford. Boy, Celtics moving fast now. Derek White for Tatum straight away. Everything crisp. Jaylen in the corner. Catch and shoot. Three in the air. Got it!
Ooh-wee! Gas time. Gas.
And the Heat don't have enough in the tank, and the Celtics are disappearing in their front view mirror.
Save that drop for Fart Court, please. Can we isolate that from Cedric Maxwell?
You want that to be the intro to Fart Court?
Just somewhere
gas
in there.
Time?
Gas. Well, for a series that has given us so much.
I mean, it's been 16 years of this, and I still don't get it. I get it, like, there's a couple things he says all the time, and then there's other stuff that just makes no sense.
I got this.
Turning on the gas.
Yeah, on the accelerator.
Yeah. I understand it. I mean, it's not a novel concept, but it's just... save all the adjectives and nouns and everything and just give them the gas.
It's just shocking that there was no food mentioned. I think that's what happens. We kind of get a little shaken when he doesn't mention something that's on the grocery store shelves.
He's gone away from sandwiches, though. We don't hear that much
I have
anymore.
Not heard sandwiches in a while. It has been a while. But ketchup spilled out, that's another one that we're sorely lacking.
There's divorce.
That's right. The divorce has been a big one. That's kind of replaced any kind of food. Well, for a series that's given us so much brutal basketball, this one looked to be more of the same. Both teams playing an embarrassing, lazy brand of basketball in the first half. Boston just, god awful. Giving up 16 second chance points in the first half, 12 points over turnover. Four of those turnovers in the first quarter alone by Jaylen Brown. My God, was that awful. But then everything changed in the second half.
Jaylen Brown inside the paint. Flies in! Right hand slam! He sailed right by Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. And as soon as the Heat had a little glimpse of hope, a little ray of sunshine, Jaylen Brown made it dark.
Ooh, the fireman just came in and put it out.
89-71.
That was television at its best because they showed Jaylen Brown's dunk. They, of course, show the bench, of course, going nuts. And then it shows a shot of Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning looking like they want to die. It was the best reaction shot of the entire NBA season, especially Mourning just sitting there looking like we got a lot of work to do. But the Celtics, they stop jacking around and they go back to what made them great. In the third quarter,
only one turnover and no second chance points for the Miami Heat as the Celtics go on a run that found them at one time leading by 23 points. They win game five, send it back home for a potential closeout game tomorrow night. And Tatum, as we were just talking about, you know, he had the shoulder problem in the first. He was one of nine, scoring four, by the way. He'd only scored 4 points at halftime, and he must have gotten the Miyagi treatment in the locker room because he came out sweeping the leg after that.
Tatum, left-hand dribble to the mid-block. Tatum rises into contact. His shot is good. Timeout, Eric Spoelstra. It was a matter of who was going to run away in this game. Neither team could get any separation, but the Celtics finally step back, and now they are landing haymakers.
Tatum finished one assist away from a triple-double, which seemed nearly improbable after the first half that he had. 22 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists, and that adds to Jaylen Brown's 25 points as well. On top of that, once again, the defense became stifling.
Oladipo didn't want to shoot against Rob Williams, so he drives on him, gets to the rim, and Rob blocks the shot. Loose ball pounced down by Derek White. 3-on-3. White for Tatum. Tatum, right-hand dribble on Strew, spins at the rim, lays it up, and in!
I said it yesterday, having Robert Williams on the court against Miami changes everything.
Well, but first of all, I would like to be the reporter who kissed Jimmy Butler's ass to such a degree after game one. I mean, do it now. I mean, what an embarrassment.
We need to listen to that. We actually need to find out, what is he saying to Jimmy Butler now after a loss like that?
Yeah, I know. Like, Jimmy, you were 4-for-18 from the field. I mean... It's got to mean something. But I actually had a notebook and was just making a notch for every open shot Miami missed, and it just, they're horrific. They're a horrific team. I mean, they Jimmy Butler. Let's just say contested layups too. I mean, oh my God, good for the Celtics. Someone's got to go into Golden State. But, I mean, the amount of open shots that Miami missed is really just amazing.
I also think they're injured.
Professional athletes.
I think they're also playing hurt. I mean, but Butler's got to be hurt. There's got to be
something. I would hope so.
I think both teams are beaten up. And I will say this. Butler looked about as bad as you're ever going to see him.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of open shots like Fred was talking about.
Duncan Robinson, I mean, the whole point of your existence is to shoot threes. And how many times, they're down 10, and Duncan Robinson, there you go, and it's like, oh, well, that's a break. I mean, Jimmy Butler was shooting balls that missed the rim by 10 feet.
So did Oladipo in the same possession. Wide open shots from the left wing, actually shot the ball over the rim and hit the backboard on the far side of the rim.
So, Rich, I agree with you that Robert Williams is a great defensive player, but last night exceeded anything that the Celtics did.
You know what's weird too, Fred, is that at the beginning there were times where Robert Williams just was in the wrong spot, and Adebayo actually had his way with him. I mean, just a couple times, it wasn't much, and then he ended up righting the ship. But I was looking at this, and according to Stat World Industries, the leader in stats, the Heat went 2-for-13 when Robert Williams was the closest defender, and that's just what happens when he's on the court. Everything changes. And as I said, if you don't have Tyler Herro out there, if you can't have an escape hatch when that paint is just jammed with guys like Al Horford and Robert Williams, then you are screwed, especially if you don't have Strus hitting it and if you don't have Duncan Robinson hitting
that's the
shot.
Thing. Strus is their best three-point shooter. He can't buy one. And Duncan
Robinson. Seven.
Yeah, and you saw the minus to Duncan Robinson. He's a guy who can legit get hot and shoot a team either back into the ball game or blow open a close game for you. He'll give up 2-on-1 in, but if he gets you 3 on the other end, you can live with it. This is what happened to him. This is why he got benched. What you saw last night in the first half of the season, he couldn't buy a shot and disappear.
Now, in that case, Fred, the one thing I will say is on the perimeter, the Celtics D has been amazing. They've been fantastic. And they've been suffocating. As a matter of fact, last night...
They're a great defensive team. Last night exceeded what the Celtics were doing. I mean, Miami is in big trouble.
Yeah, I mean,
John, what did they miss? 40 open shots?
30, so they missed a whopping 38 three-point attempts.
7-of-45 from three.
Which, by the way, that is a record for the most three-point misses in NBA playoff history last night.
I mean, they're atrocious.
But that's a team that traditionally... is a great three-point shooting team.
I know.
The best three-point shooting team.
But these are open, wide open threes in some cases. Wide open shots. I mean, they just let Jimmy Butler shoot from three.
Well, yeah, because he's not a three-point guy. Yeah.
He's awful. No, well, I mean, but yeah, but I mean, he's an NBA player.
I know, but I mean, of all the people to leave open, he would be the guy anyway.
But I mean, they would sag down to the free throw line. And then he would have open mid-range shots that he would, you know, they were bricking.
Yeah.
Where it made noise.
Well, Fred, how about this?
you could hear it on TV.
Here's the stat of all stats. And I believe that this is a mixture of great defense and them just sucking at their shooting. The Heat starting backcourt has made a combined one basket in the last two games.
Yeah. Struce has been awful.
Lowry's terrible.
You know, Lowry is A, 36, yes, and yeah. B, playing hurt on top of that. And so you see the result. And that
did you see before the game him jump and like he could barely touch the net?
Right. And that's the thing. You see most players before the game, they run towards the basket and go up and like hang on the rim. Yeah. He jumped up and barely grabbed the bottom of the net before crashing into the basket support. He looks done. And this is not just Lowry. And the overriding point is these two teams have beaten the crap out of each other for five and now it's going to be six games. I don't know what either of those two teams were going to have left for Golden State when they get there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to keep hoping that the Mavericks win. I mean, they won that one game. They pulled it off.
I mean, put it this way. Golden State is a big favorite over either of these two teams.
Listen, the potential 4 days off, I mean, you could have more than that. You could have
a week if they finish it off.
Yeah, yeah.
If they finish it off.
5 days. Yeah, so 5 days to 3 days you could have off. One of the two. It depends on when the game ends. But that's massive. That's massive for the Celtics. You know, especially after these three series. But, I mean, once again, right now you should be the biggest Dallas Mavericks fan. You want this thing to be extended as long as it could possibly go. And there's some dude, I think, who placed $50,000, like a bet, when the Mavericks were down 0-3 to win the series. And I think he's going to win like $1.5 million if he ends up delivering. That's how high the odds were, how low, I guess it would be a high, that they would lose that.
You might as well burn the money.
Yeah.
But overall, I agree with you, Fred. Miami's done. I mean, this should end tomorrow, and it should end quickly, because Miami is beaten up. They look like they don't have anything left. I mean, Butler is playing hurt. Lowry's playing hurt. I think Struess, that hamstring that he keeps being listed with, I mean, that's clearly affecting his shooting because he's missing shots he ordinarily makes. And the Celtics defense with Robert Williams out there is far better than what Miami has to match them.
I think the only shot that they got in game six is if Robert Williams is out and Tyler Herro is in. If that happens, that changes the dynamic of everything.
I think if Tyler Harrow's in and Robert Williams is in, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? You're saying Harrow is this big difference maker. Honestly, if Robert Williams is in the game, it doesn't matter.
See, I'm saying that if Robert Williams is out, that obviously frees up the paint. Bam Adebayo becomes a star again.
Sure.
And if you've got Tyler Herro out there, you finally have the perimeter shooter that has been so dangerous.
But he hasn't been the best guy. The best guy has been Struess all year. That's the thing.
But it does seem like, believe it or not, as much as I hate the guy, Tyler Herro might have a little more emotional fortitude in big games.
Speaking of Tyler Herro, Fred, did you see him, a picture of him on the bench yesterday?
Oh, dude, I tweeted him.
He's dressed like a Backstreet Boy.
It's not him. It's the guys who are in the stands behind him.
Yeah, the big muscular dude. But the but people are like photoshopping a goatee on him, which is unnecessary. Like they're photoshopping like the mouth vagina. And he just got a little sprinkle of hair on the chin. Just let it be. He looks douchey enough.
He looked like you should have been on the beach in the I Want It That Way video. He's got the flowy white shirt, you know?
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, Miami demands that. I mean, and that is a fantastic
song. Nobody else on the team dresses like him. It's amazing.
Well, how many of them are in a Jack Harlow song? All right, we'll be right back here at the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This is Dan and Rick Flair on nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I wasn't going to bring this up, but the more I'm seeing this, and I can put it in a sports perspective, is that Grandy, before yesterday's game, made a speech about, I don't know if you guys probably didn't hear it because you have lives that don't involve being in the car 24 hours a day, but Grandy did a speech about school shootings and this and that. I will say this. And I have to say something because I just saw some. I mean, if you're like a big semi-automatic guy, this is a perfect storm of you don't have a leg to stand on. Okay, so the kid legally bought the AR-15. Then
they just changed it to 18 there. So that, yes, that's a new thing. And he was able to buy it right after his birthday.
And you could, today or tomorrow, Rich, you can go to the NRA convention and right where the shooting happened. Same state. And have you seen the footage of the police? The kid was in the classroom for 40 minutes. The police strapped with AR-15s were keeping parents out of the school who were begging them to go in. Now, I don't know about the tactical mission of the police or anything like that. Is all I'm saying is if you're a big, like, a semi-automatic weapon guy and, like, I need to protect myself and if only the – if you make guns illegal, only the bad guys will have guns. This is, like, a perfect storm. Kid legally purchased the guns for the sole mission of killing children, went into the school and barricaded in a room for 40 minutes while people with the good guys, in quotations, the SWAT team that did nothing, the Border Patrol is the people who got him out of the classroom. While for 40 minutes, the good guys sat outside with AR-15s and did nothing. Like, this is a non-debatable. Like, you, like, nothing on your side of the ledger worked out for you in this sick case. If you are just, like, love AR-15s this much, nothing worked out for you in this case. Like, every one of your points missed it. Like, you know, oh, well, we got to do something about mental health. Well, I mean, the kid, why is it, what is the mechanics of the government going to figure out mental health issues in the next 6 months?
Well, then stop denying there being laws trying to be passed that make background checks stronger. The same people who are saying that, you know, we need, this is a mental health problem. All right, well, then why do you keep shutting down legislation that makes it tougher to get a gun and has stronger background checks?
So
I mean, you can't speak out of both sides of your mouth.
Well, they do. And by the way, Rich, this is not the time to be discussing this. This is a time, can't we all get along?
Oh, of course. This is absolutely the time to be discussing this.
Well, I just like that that beta guy goes in and confronts him, and they're like, dear Lord, I mean, can't we at least have, like, a week where we all get along so this all passes and we forget about it again? And so what an a-hole that guy was. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
talking about the governor.
Yeah, I mean, he might be special needs. And so you buy the gun legally. And then you go, well, the good guys are only armed with the Glocks and this and that. No, 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 no. The SWAT team was in tactical gear with AR-15s and everything else. And they just stood out there. I mean, you just take the L. If you love automatic weapons and your whole life is that you got to have automatic weapons and that you got to protect yourself and that if you don't have it, only bad guys will have it and da 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 da. Everything, every point of argument that you make is dispelled in this. This especially. I just saw the video of the cops. There's a 5-minute video of parents, and then the parents are talking about organizing and rushing into the school because the cops are just standing there. And again, no disrespect to the police, I don't know what your tactical training is. I don't know what you're supposed to do in those situations. I just know there was an ass load of guys with AR-15s standing outside the school, and there were. Don't save your tweets and everything, because I'm just going to know you're a sociopath in saying, well, there weren't. There were. I just saw a 6-minute video when I was taking a dump.
It's unbelievable that it is tougher for me to go get my Zyrtec or Claritin than it would be to go buy a gun in certain states. Like, that's
the thing is that it's not even guns. It's the kid. Oh, I guess he had 40 minutes, but the theory. I mean, all these school shootings are with AR-15s, which you don't hunt with. Which you don't, I mean, if there's someone breaks into your house, I don't know why you need something that has the munition standards of an AR-15. I mean, a gun's a gun at that point. I mean, it really just comes down to these AR-15s. And every one of your arguments got crushed if you're like one of these people that just loves AR-15s and can't get enough of them. Everyone's got to have an AR-15. I need it. Don't tell me. I mean, and it's essentially hobbyist. And it's so funny that, like, in a sad, horrible, deplorable way, that, like, you're essentially just catering to hobbyists. Like, guys that, like, have a hobby. Like, their hobby is to shoot these guns at gun ranges. That's their hobby. They're never going to use it because you use it to mass kill.
Right.
So, like if I have an AR-15,
yes.
Like, if I'm, you know, some guy with 18 AR-15s, unless I'm mass murdering people, I really have no use for it except for a hobby. So, in order for people to keep their hobby going, you're willing to, like, to disgrace yourself in front of a crowd of grieving people. I mean, it's just an insanity. To protect someone's hobby or someone's, you know, masturbatory dream of being Rambo. I mean, seriously, like, you're not using that thing for anything. You're not. You're never going
to
use it.
Well, I know what my friends use it for. It's to show off to each other how many of them they have.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's a hobby.
That's, you know, a lot of my friends do that. And it's like, all right, man.
My hobby was, I don't know, Rich. Like, imagine, like, you're protecting
model trains.
Like, the model train industry. Like, the Lionel, you know.
Lobby.
Lobbyists were so powerful. That
you're a big train.
You were willing to just to neuter yourself in front of everyone. My gosh. Can't we just get to a week of not making this political?
Yes. It's absolutely the time to.
It's not see-through at all. You make such good points. And then every idiot, yeah, don't make it political. I saw one guy, a guy at the station had, it's not his fault, he had some, like, Facebook thing, and there was a guy in there, and he goes, it's the terror cycle. You're buying into the terror cycle. As if the police or the government, this guy has a job in a Facebook account. He works in Martha's Vineyard. His idea, apparently, is that that the government on a cyclical basis, like, stages these elementary school shootings, and this is, so he's invented this, which is, he should, it's certifiable, but for his hobby, he has convinced himself that this is what the situation is.
Did you see last night when they did the moment of silence yesterday? The announcer immediately afterwards said, and make sure to vote for politicians who are for stricter gun laws. And the place went crazy. Like, I mean, think about that. Like, the announcer said that at the Miami Heat game, and the place went nuts. I'm starting to wonder who is in support of letting things be the status quo. Like, who truly is for keeping things remaining the way they are?
Steve Kerr
without
said
better
it best.
Background checks.
Steve Kerr said it best at his press conference. There are 50 senators who don't want it, while 90% of America does.
That's
what it seems like.
18-year-olds who can't buy a beer can go in and buy these AR-15s, and I'm having a hard time buying Claritin. Like, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with all of that. And then you can cry mental health, but those same people are the ones who have constantly been shooting down stricter background checks.
Well, Rich, the bottom line is they shouldn't sell AR-15s. I mean, you can pussyfoot around it. Not you, but the world can pussyfoot around it. You shouldn't be selling AR-15s. No one needs it. You don't need it.
I do find it strange you can't buy a grenade, but you can buy an AR-15 when both have the same effect. They're both weapons of mass killing.
Yes, the only use of an AR-15 is to mass kill. And all the people that you know that have them, as you know, they're never going to use them. They're never going to need it. Can you imagine someone breaks into your house, well, get me my 18 AR-15s. I'm going to go and run around while they break into my house. Because everyone wants my garbage pewter plates, my Princess Diana Memorial plate. It's funny, the people with nothing going on are the ones that are that everyone they think everyone wants everything they have. No one cares about you. That's the bottom line. You should be afraid of that. And your self-worth is off the charts, good for you. But your paranoia is misplaced. You are of nothing of consequence to most everyone. You don't need your AR-15 to protect nothing. You know, buy 18,000 Glocks. I'm comfortable with that. Let's start with the AR-15s. Because I have not heard an argument that I went, oh, well, that, like, I might disagree, but that makes sense. And for most things I have, but not for this. So if that was a perfect storm of all your stupid arguments for it, going out the window. All right. And when I say you, I mean a collective bunch of a-holes, not anyone currently I'm looking at. All right. We will be back and we won't talk about it anymore. But I just saw the police just milling about outside. And yes. I had to say, yes. I was like, well, what's your argument now? All right. We'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.